With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
Friday morning, it's time for our political panel here at RCR. Joining me this morning, or joining us, it's an us thing, on the panel this morning, Bob McCroskey, Family First. Hi, Bob.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. Marty Gibson, who knows everything about the media, who's actually holding up. You won't see this, we're radio, but was that a panda picture?
Just happened to be in the office I'm sitting in. Yes, hi, how are you?
It wasn't that a version of that Prince Charles portrait, was it?
It's a picture of my wife.
What?
Oh, Marty. I'm going to tell you said that.
There was a radio DJ in the States, and he used to do very funny pieces, and he did, I think, a Chinese version of Deliverance, a scene out of Deliverance. And it, and the scene ended with squeal like a panda. And Olivia Pearson, we recognize your voice. Hi, Olivia.
Oh, hi there.
Okay, now let's get straight into it. Lindsay Perigo yesterday morning said, it seems like we're starting to win. And I thought, if Lindsay's saying that, there must be something in it. What do you make of that? Any of you hear what he had to say?
I did hear it. It's very hopeful for Lindsay. So he had his reasons, didn't he? He gave out quite a list.
Yeah, we were on the list. Well, the RCR effort for the people's terms and the DIA backed down.
He's always in a good mood after he sees a Trump rally. I know that for a fact.
Oh, maybe that was it. Maybe he's not so happy this morning.
It's a bit like when you're in a bar fight, though. You know, if you kind of someone swings at you and you duck it, you've always got to not spend too long congratulating yourself on that.
Good point.
Because there's probably something else coming.
Yeah.
Did he identify what he felt was the, you know, turning point? Or?
Well, not so much a turning point, but just a sense of, and I think Olivia's right, you know, he probably was pumped after that Trump rally.
Trump rally.
He brings out that snake story, doesn't he, quite often?
Yeah, he does. It's one of his favorites, and it's very salient considering what's happened to America with all that illegal immigration.
Yeah, I think Bob, I think he was referring to the people's terms that were accepted in Parliament, the back down by the Department of Internal Affairs seeking to regulate, well, people like us.
Online hate speech and stuff like
the
that.
The bathrooms thing.
Yep.
Yep, so, transgender.
What do you reckon, Bob? Do you think there's something going on?
Oh, look, I think since the government has changed, there's this feeling, and I think it's a correct perception, that we're not sort of going down this one-track road of radicalness and trying to divide the country and social disaster. It's kind of like everybody's taking a breath and saying, hey, wow, there's actually some common sense. And I'm always amused because the media, when the government puts up its goals that it wants to achieve in the next 100 days or however many months, and we get to that end of the period and the media then says, right, let's check and see what they've actually achieved. And I'm thinking to myself, well, the difference is this government actually has some goals and they're actually checking to see whether they've achieved them or not. What we had for the last 3 years was just bluster and promises and review committees and conferences and nothing. And I think, you know, classic example is the Christchurch call, of course, which is that on our list?
It is.
Oh, that might be a segue then. The Christchurch call was all bluster. It sounds good. It's well-intentioned. But what has it achieved? Well, all I can see is it's put out dopey, dumb documents saying that trad mums who stay at home and raise their children are somehow the purveyors of disinformation. So, yeah, I think it was well past its expiry date, but I don't think you've got onto that topic yet, have you?
Well, we can launch straight into it. Olivia, I think you probably want to kick off on that.
It's still
in existence, though, isn't it? It's now an NGO, not a directly government-funded. Thanks.
Yeah, so the statement that Christopher Luxon made was, you know, about the fact that it's become an NGO and a foundation, I should say, which will make it subject to foreign governments and tech providers and whoever else funding it rather than taxpayer funds. Luxon's statement said the foundation will help to coordinate and support efforts by civil society, industry and government to eliminate terrorist and violent extremist content, maintain a free, open and secure global internet, and protect and promote human rights. And I had a bit of a laugh about that one. Jacinda hasn't exactly got a great record on upholding human rights, as we all know, and we're the victims of. Censorship and coerced injections goes against human rights. Who's going to tell her? Obviously not Christopher Luxon.
Yeah, that's interesting that he kind of associates even with her.
I know. Well, I'm not actually surprised by that, given he's a bit of a globalist himself.
It's not a good look.
Terrible look. But people are very angry with Luxon for giving Ardern any continuation with this role and endorsing it. So, I mean, we had an election only 8 months ago that, summarily ejected Labour out of power, yet he gives Jacinda this kind of stroke. It's unfathomable and shows what a shill he is. But we know that because this has been nationals. They've been globalist players for at least the last 30 years. On the Christchurch Call website, it states, in 2021, the Call community endorsed a work plan on algorithms and positive interventions. This plan focuses our efforts on improving understanding of online user journeys and the role they may play in radicalization.
Journeys?
For an organization that up until now has been part of our government and funded by taxpayers, it's amazing to me that the Islamic State's recruitment magazine called Dabiq is still available for free download in New Zealand, even with this Christchurch Call and Play for how long? 4 years? Dabiq magazine is brutal. It's violent. It's free. You can actually view it without even downloading it. This is in New Zealand. Should it be censored?
Should it be censored?
Well, considering the whole thing is about how evil the West is and how Islam is going to bring it down, and it's about radicalizing youths, yeah, you could make a good case for it. Well, I mean, it's definitely hate speech, you know.
Yeah, but I mean, the principle of it, I mean, how many of our Kiwi kids are going to go out and I know historically, you know, the wives and the brides and everything.
Yeah, well, they did. They actually... We did have them go. Remember that guy that tried to come back? Yeah. He was, I've forgotten his name. But
what should the threshold be? Marty, what do you reckon?
I reckon Jacinda Ardern's just a sock puppet. And I think that, she's gone to Harvard, which is the epicenter of turning misinformation into some study that Harvard itself describes as too big to fail. That particular part of Harvard that she's gone to is the epicenter of the connection between the intelligence community and the blob in America. And they're all knitted up with social media companies. And again, I wouldn't always quote Mike Benz because I'm always so impressed with the depth of his knowledge on this stuff. He had an article on Foundation for Freedom Online, which is what he founded once he left the State Department. And he talks about, Harvard's attitude to misinformation. You can pretty much guarantee that Jacinda's right on board with that. And Macron's a big player in this whole globalist adventure.
Do you think, do you think Macron might have heavied Luxon a bit? And obviously they're communicating because of what's happening in Noumea.
As Olivia said, he's a globalist. He's right on board with all of that stuff. He never criticized Pfizer. He's someone they're real happy to have there. And that was the whole point of the CIA and the Department of Homeland Security really getting stuck into this about 2017. As Mike Benz has said, AI-driven censorship of social media, of media, Google is here. It's been here for quite a long time. And just like how initially, chess, the computers could beat progressively better chess players into the point where now chess players don't even play computers because it's just too dispiriting.
Yeah.
That's what we've let loose on ourselves with AI. And, Jacinda Ardern with all the hand wringing, looking to the sky, using this religious imagery like call, call's a religious word. The Muslim
I personally don't like even the title of it. I don't know how you feel, but it makes me feel kind of I don't know.
It's a big sale. It's not some random thing. And he's not, oh, well, you know, I know I shouldn't support, but, you know, those poor people who got killed. It's a lot more deep and complex and cynical than that, I would. Mm, I mean, the evidence is there for that.
Bob?
Well, the problem I have is that they've had mission drift. And so at the latest conference, which was actually held in Paris, they said that one of their next aims was specific efforts to improve the online experience of young people and to counteract online misogyny and anti-LGBTQIA plus hatred vector for violent extremism. The commentary by a lawyer in New Zealand, and I've forgotten his name and I need to check it out to give him credit, but he said there has been mission creep and the targets of extremism have been expanded to women, LGBTQIA communities, youth and intersectional communities, which is quite a reach beyond the terrorist, lone wolf, shooter or bomber, and a clear indicator that what the call is really about is hate speech. And they have a whole report that was presented in Paris that was talking about the fact that, let me just quote, anti-drag queens and anti-LGBTQI activities, for example, are not limited to fringe groups, but have become a unifying concern for the far right, as well as localized activists, including certain parents' rights groups, anti-vaccine or anti-lockdown groups, and Christian nationalists.
Oh,
and then they go into a section on prominent women and go on. And of course, you know, hate speech towards certain women like Posy Parker is okay, but towards other women like Jacinda Ardern, it's not apparently.
Okay.
And then they have a whole section on the danger of trad wives, which of course is what we heard from Kate Hannah out of the Disinformation Project.
Yeah.
So, no, look, it's well past its use-by date. It was well-intentioned. It sounded good, but it's achieving nothing. And you've got a whole lot of social media giants who really should be funding it themselves, and government should be just calling them to accountability.
The only thing I'd say to you, Bob, is I agree with Marty. It comes from a much more sinister base, and in that sense, it was never well intentioned at all. Yeah,
the aim is a boot stepping on a human face forever.
Yeah, yeah.
As Orwell said,
I don't argue with that.
Yeah, and remember that it came out in the Australian government under the inquiries over the Vax, and I think through Alex Antic, that the Australian government had used the Christchurch call to censor a lot of the social media over the vaccine and what they called vaccine misinformation, which was actually true information.
Yeah, if you go to Harvard's, this article about Harvard, what Harvard's doing, the disinformation space that Comrade Cindy's gone to, it is firmly entrenched in various academic disciplines with work coming from areas such as sociology, communication, medicine and pharmacology, as well as computer science. The above definition's reference to medicine and pharmacology appears to emphasize the misinfo field censorship of critics of COVID-19 policies or vaccines. And they're real big on censoring anyone who spoke out about the dangers of mail-in ballots that led to the
election fraud,
Biden's win.
Okay, anything more to say about that?
Oh, I just want to read this great quote also from the latest conference of the Christchurch call. It says about tradwives, tradwives embrace a highly heteronormative rendition of the wife and mother role in opposition to feminism and reproductive rights, LGBTQIA rights and gender equality. Researchers highlight that tradwives use their presence on social media to offer a powerful female in-group association and successfully infiltrated mainstream social media with their anti-globalist, anti-modern approach to life. So, you know, I think, you know, next time you walk past a mum who's just, you know, looking after her kids and perhaps at the playground, just think to yourself, there is a radical.
I interviewed one in the run-up to this inflection point, Catherine. And who would ever want to cause a woman like that a problem? Salt of the earth, mother of five, really smart, and just principled. I don't get that.
The biggest barrier to the globalist aims are strong families who form strong communities who resist. They don't want that. That's not in their interest. So, all right. Feminism.
Okay, let's get on to this. UN General Assembly presses Security Council to give favourable consideration to full Palestinian membership. And I think we voted a particular way. Olivia, you'll have something to say on this.
Yeah, the resolution passed. So that is, yeah, the resolution to put Palestine on the path to full membership at the UN, as you said, Paul. New Zealand voted in favour of it, along with 142 other countries, including France, North Korea, Zimbabwe, and Haiti. Nine voted
against.
Which
is falling apart. Oh, my God.
Oh, yes.
That's,
Nine voted against, including Hungary, the United States, Argentina, and Israel. And 25 countries abstained from voting at all, including the United Kingdom, Canada, Croatia, Holland, Sweden, Switzerland, and Ukraine. But it passed anyway. I note that Winston Peters' language around this issue and New Zealand's vote for the resolution was very, very careful. He said New Zealand will make a clear statement to the UN later this morning explaining its vote, indicating that while it supports enhancing Palestine's status at the UN, it does not amount to recognition of Palestinian statehood, Mr. Peters said. Now, here's the thing, is that Netanyahu right now is in a really hard position, a very difficult position. He has to balance all these needs also, as well that Winston was talking about, but also fight a war with a goal to completely demilitarizing the Gaza terror state, which is no small feat. But he's also facing really heavy opposition and threats of mutiny from within his own cabinet. People think of him as super right wing. Netanyahu is not super right wing. He is center right. But some of his cabinet, of course, are ultra right. And they are threatening to walk and therefore overturn his coalition government if he doesn't fully eradicate Hamas, which means they have to do the
Rafah completely offensive. Destroying the whole place. Okay. Yep.
Yeah.
And that's good, isn't it? How many kids have been killed, Matt? Olivia, now, do you think?
Well, they've just lowered that figure, remember? Did you see that?
Oh, that's a relief.
Well, what it does show you.
What's
is
it down
that you
to
actually,
now?
I think half. About
that's
half.
Right,
So I think that what that does show, though, is that you cannot trust the figures. And remember, they make no distinction between their fighters, like terrorists being killed and children being killed. They're all just in one bunch.
Oh, that's okay then. But what do you do to solve this? I mean, people got to feel that they belong to something. Well, the people just have to desperately walk away and go somewhere else. How does it work?
Well, I think that the I know that the peace deal that was meant to be brokered in Egypt really fell over because they want of course, Israelis want the return of all the hostages taken on October the 7th and are still held. Israel stipulated that nothing could move forward until the immediate release of 33 hostages.
What if they don't get released? Do you hold the whole thing up on? You got to accept collateral damage in these situations.
Well,
in a pragmatic
way,
don't you?
They asked for 33 to be released at first, and Hamas issued a change and said that they would release 33 live or dead ones. So absorb the gravity of that alteration to the deal, and of course Israel balked. And Israel have now said that they believe at least 35 of the hostages are dead, and they but they still want the bodies back.
Yeah, but compare that to the number of bloody children who are dead.
Well, perhaps Hamas should not have made war on their neighbors.
Okay, so that's okay. That's okay, right?
Yeah, it's a war. You're going to have a lot of people die in a war. That's why you don't make war on your neighbors.
Well, that's a bigger picture. Okay, well, there's quite a bit in there. What do the others think?
The other thing, too, is that Hamas want for every one Israeli hostage released, they want 30 of the terrorists
well, when you got thousands,
released from prison. So that's I can't see how Israel can agree to that.
What I'm thinking is there's crap on all sides. What do the others think?
Oh, man, it's just one of those things that keeps you powerless, worrying about things that you can't affect and things that you haven't got. I mean, I've said before, you know, if one side stops fighting, there'll be peace, and if the other side stops fighting, there'll be genocide. So I'm tend to be more on the side of the ones who stop fighting, where there'd be genocide if they stop fighting. But I you know, they're both. There's something. I mean, I'm always suspicious about my attention being directed in one place when there are so many awful things happening in the world and where people are so emotional. I can't really say much about it. It's so complex. I mean, I've said what I've said about, and also the number of times Hamas leaders and Palestinian leaders have turned down the opportunity to have a state, the amount of money they've made. I mean, the way they teach their children to hate, all of those things are obnoxious and awful.
Like I say, crap on all sides, right?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know. It makes me feel sad. Even, I mean, the kids dying look like my kids.
The place is rubble. I mean, imagine. Yeah. I don't know.
But, you know, the majority of Palestinians still support Hamas. And you know, like, unless you can talk frankly about what the Quran says to do, you're not going to get to the bottom of what's going on here.
That's what it comes down to.
Bob.
Look, I'm not an expert on this area, but I did read a very good article just sort of summarising just two key points. One was that the UN Charter principles and purposes are to maintain international peace and develop friendly relations among nations. Now, the problem with incorporating the state of Palestine is that the Palestinian Authority and Hamas are the furthest thing from peace-loving. They're both extremist organisations. They encourage and reward terrorism. They indoctrinate hate, which, of course, led to October the 7th. So they're not a peace-loving state. And, look, 100 governments recognise the state of Palestine, but that's a political determination. It doesn't actually have a government that exercises sovereign authority. It controls it, but it doesn't have sovereign authority. So it's a difficult situation because I agree with Marty. I think if the Palestinians put their weapons down, the war would immediately stop. If Israel put their weapons down, Israel would be obliterated. And they are surrounded by enemies who want to obliterate them. So in an imperfect world, as I know you're getting at, Paul, unfortunately, Israel has a right to defend itself. When we say, I'm interested, well, one thing, I'd never believe the figures on Palestine casualties. One, because they didn't separate them from fighters who were being killed. But the second thing is that they lie about everything, including when so-called hospitals are bombed and there's hundreds of casualties. And in fact, the bomb was one of their own bombs that landed in a car park. So they've just been caught out too many times. And the other thing is that we see these images. I agree with you, Paul. You see these images that suggest that the whole area has been bombed to smithereens. But those are the images that I've been given. And one thing I would really love to do is actually go there and find out where are the...
Good point.
What's the population of Gaza? It's
2 million.
Yeah. They're not all in Rafah on the coast.
It's a small matter of the fence that separates Gaza from Egypt as well. And that doesn't get enough attention. I mean, they could just open the gate.
Why don't the Egyptians want them? The Egyptians aren't getting in trouble.
For not helping out as people who, as you say, are in many cases Egyptian.
Yeah.
But what a horrible, horrible, I mean, it's like Ukraine, man. You know, anytime you're tempted to be drawn into.
The biggest argument against a state for Palestine, I just can't see this, is that it would be overseen by the PLA, the Palestinian Authority. And because it's so weak and corrupted, it would only be a matter of time before that is taken over by another branch of Hamas. And then Israel would have a massive terror state on its border, but a larger one this time than Gaza or what's just in the West Bank. So those are the arguments against a two-state solution, and they're very sound.
So what's the alternative, though?
The alternative is doing what Israel are doing, and that is fully demilitarizing Gaza, fully demilitarizing it, and also then there will be a de-radicalization aspect to
it
all, because they actually need to start building a country instead of just trying to wipe another one out. besides that, as horrific as...
Wait on, can the people in Gaza really wipe Israel out? You'd have to have a far bigger confrontation.
They're trying to wipe them out.
I mean, well, they're just nipping at the heels.
They did really. A lot the resources of damage.
That Israel has on weapons and capability is way beyond...
They did a lot of damage on October the 7th. Would you like to live with that on your border?
I've heard about October 7th. It's terrible, but there are aspects of that that we can sit here and debate for ages. Mm. Anyway, I don't think we should carry on.
About New Zealand.
But we could say that you can understand Al through Winston's position on this, right?
Well, you guys are quite reluctant to go here, which is interesting to me because...
Well, I'm just watching the clock.
The other side of this issue gets a lot of airtime, and we do actually need to set the record straight that there is a moral case for a war. I mean, I'm not hearing, Russia right now is wiping out a lot of Ukrainians, aren't they? And they were the aggressor, yet there's not a lot of judgment amongst the freedom.
I thought the Ukrainians were winning. They were supposed to be winning.
Well, they're not.
A lie then, wasn't it?
I wouldn't describe the Russians necessarily as...
But they have much higher casualty rates than what's going on in Gaza.
For next week. We can talk about that one next week.
I think the concern for Israel is simply that they are surrounded by their enemy. So it's not just Gaza, and you're right. The Palestinians alone couldn't obliterate Israel. But with the help of Iran, who is funding most of this,
well, and the Biden gave money that's funding most of this. I mean,
that's right. The money is coming in, and funding what were the Bidens doing
in Ukraine? What were the Bidens doing in Ukraine? I mean, who's who?
They're working for Burisma, with the crack addict.
But there's now a massive depopulation agenda going on in Ukraine, and that's been done at the hands of Russia. And that has a much higher death toll than anything that's going on.
Which side of that are you on then, Olivia?
Well, I'm not on anyone's side. I do not trust Putin as far as I could kick him, but I can see the guy was goaded into the war.
What about Biden?
I can see that, Biden's an idiot with dementia. I don't even know if we're dealing with Biden. But I'm saying that you would agree with me that Russia was goaded into that war by NATO. And this is exactly the same with Israel. They were heavily goaded. They had an act of war committed against them. They're allowed to respond.
You can tell by the way they did that special military operation and the number of deployed troops for it. It wasn't a full-time war. They thought that that would be enough pressure. We'd all get to the negotiating table. But that didn't happen. So what do you do after that?
Which war?
You put the hammer down. The special military operation that kicked it off
in Russia
in 2022. Mm. And that was not a full-scale deployment. That was like, we'll show them a bit of pressure and let's get around the table. And they did in Turkey. And then, what's his name? Boris turned up.
Boris Johnson, yeah.
Boris
Trump on this. I want people to stop dying, okay?
Yeah, and I kind of agree with that. Dying.
But I think the point that we need to make, and that I often make when I have these private conversations with people, is that as horrific as...
This isn't private, Olivia, just reminding you.
Yeah, no, I know. Don't worry.
About 5,000 people listening, but okay.
But we've got two wars going on, one in Ukraine and one in Israel, Gaza. And
different scale.
Yeah, they're very, very different wars. But the thing is that as horrific as civilian deaths are, and they are, horrible, always. Wars cannot be intelligently judged upon the amount of deaths. Wars are to be judged upon the predicates leading to a war and the international legalities of how warfare is conducted. So even the International Court of Justice did not decide that Israel had committed a genocide. They said no such thing. They only warned Israel to make sure that they don't commit one. Many civilian deaths are not the definition of genocide. Genocide specifically targets innocent people to wipe out a bloodline or an ethnic line. And I would say that's probably more going on in Ukraine than it is in Gaza.
Okay. All right. New Zealand First introduced on Friday, last Friday it was, the Fair Access to Bathrooms Bill to Parliament. And that's one of the, I think we're starting to win items that Lindsay included that I mentioned at the start. Mm. So who wants to kick off on this one?
That'll be Bob.
This is your wheelhouse, Bob.
Outhouse.
I'll have a quick rant about it. I have termed this Winston's straight flush. He's called it the Fair Access to Bathrooms Bill, and it's basically got two provisions, which we've actually done some polling on, which I'll tell you about in a minute. And so there's two aspects to it. Basically, if you build any new non-residential toilets from now on, so basically for public use, it has to have toilets for male, female, and a unisex toilet. So for anybody who can't figure out if they're male or female biologically, then they use the unisex toilet. And if you find that you use a toilet not of your biological sex, then it's a fine of $2,000. Now, interestingly enough, we did some polling on this, and we actually found that there was support for the provision that, yes, the toilets, do you support or oppose a requirement for new public buildings to have single-sex toilets for males and females and unisex toilets? It was 2-1, basically, 56% support, only 26% opposition. The others were still thinking about it. There wasn't quite as much support for the fine of $2,000. Interestingly enough, the media completely misrepresented this bill quite maliciously, in my view. For example, the Post in Wellington did a heading that said, Winston Peters, the bill is going to ban unisex toilets, which of course is a complete lie. In fact, the unisex toilet is there to solve the problem of those who don't know what their biological sex is.
It's like a neutral country.
I'm glad they're not going to be fined. I'm glad that the fine is not well supported, because there have been so many times where I use the male loo if there's a massive queue, if there's a queue outside the ladies.
Yeah. You know, and I bet a few people have used a disabled toilet when it's been empty and there's a queue as well,
exactly,
eh?
Exactly, always, yeah.
Although I think if you go to a sports stadium at halftime and there's all the men in the men's toilet at the urinals, I don't think any woman would ever want to go into a male toilet.
Well, they always smell bad, don't they?
Oh, well, they do. We've been in there, so we know, us three blokes. But anyway, what I found interesting is that, you know, the politicians got very upset about it. One thing I thought was very ironic was that Shannon Halbert, who's a Labor MP, said, look, we can't have a rule based on what is your gender and what is the correct toilet to go to, because we don't have a gender register. And in fact, he's wrong on that, because we actually have birth certificates, because birth certificates are now based on your gender identity. And so we do have a register. So I think Labor Party can actually support it now. But look, I think it was quite clever politics. I think Winston has put up a bill that reaches a middle ground on all this, that all parties can have access to a toilet, but at the same time, women can maintain their privacy and private space in a woman's toilet, which is where a lot of us guys don't care. If a woman's dumb enough to come into a guy's toilet, so be it.
Oh, that might be a little uncomfortable for me. I was just wondering if I walked in and Olivia was there. I mean, how, like, what the hell?
If you knew them.
No, I've often done
it. Nice to see
you, Olivia. I still
do it. Stop meeting like this.
It's just purely to just so I don't have to queue, because I hate queues, but the guys always laugh.
I always say to myself, thank goodness I'm a guy when I'm half time at the theatre or at the football stadium, because I see the queue coming out of the women's. But in the good old days, we didn't have to point out the bleeding obvious in terms of biological distinction. We all knew male and female. Now, because we've confused the culture, we have to have politicians come up with this, trying to sort the confusion out. And the media trying to misrepresent the whole thing. So
a concert promoter told me once, I think he's dead now, that it was always the female loos that were the most devastated after a show.
I don't know about that, because I can honestly say I've been in both, and male toilets.
Well, that was, I just remember that. I didn't want to remember it.
Amazed that Christopher Luxon, and this is quoted in this article that we were looking at, describing anyone who was interested in this issue as being on another planet.
Yeah.
And if you haven't listened to it, I recommend that you listen to Marie Buskey's interview. It was last week with Josh Slocum, he's the host of the Disaffected podcast, and he called the whole social contagion aspect out as evil, where it relates particularly to children with personality disordered parents, particularly mothers, And there was also a great interview with Jordan Peterson did with Michael Schellenberger about the contents of the WPATH files.
Yeah, I saw that.
And again, if we look at that, it's like looking at what's happening at Harvard. We can look at where the taproot of all this stuff goes. And it does go to some quite dark and evil places. You know, in the WPATH files, this is what it said in the introduction, members demonstrate a lack of consideration for long-term patient outcomes, despite being aware of the debilitating and potential fatal side effects of cross-sex hormones and other treatments. And it's been given to people with severe mental health issues, such as schizophrenia and associative identity disorder and other vulnerabilities. So, you know, we're not just dealing with people, you know, we've got that standard autogynephilia fetish.
You're saying Marty.
Yeah, there are people that I don't want having access to the girls' changing rooms while my seven-year-old daughter's getting changed in there.
Mm, absolutely.
And, you know, it's worthy, you know, and we've got to talk about it. So, yeah, it's the effort to shut down the debate is telling as well. Yeah, as is Christopher Luxon's characterising anyone who wants to have the debate as out in space.
I really object to this term rainbow community. I know it's a small thing, but it's not really that small, actually. It makes me feel ill, and I dislike it intensely. It makes them sound so sweet and cuddly and childlike, which is far from the truth. You know, so far from the truth, it's not funny.
It's a monster wanting to eat people is what it is.
Yeah, and even the Pope last year met with leaders of the LGBTQ Rainbow Catholics Coalition. Honestly, I mean, the Vatican will be promoting rainbow priests and cardinals next. Well, what could possibly go wrong?
Yeah. Speaking of Luxon, anyone got a comment to make about what he said about the pay gap, just quickly? Because he seems to think there's a 9% pay gap between male and female, and that's when Winston took the opportunity to make his comment about
his comment.
The
I think we talked about that one, Paul.
Yeah, no, but any further thoughts on that? Because I've been mulling that over, and that's another thing that we...
It's an idea that's been discredited for 30 years.
Yeah. Okay. Let's finish
up. And it comes down as well to that agenda to dismantle families. It's necessary if you have children. You know, one of the ways they sold feminism to women was to grossly understate how much effort is required to raise children. Yeah. And I know that because I do a lot of that work in my own marriage. I'm an economic transsexual.
Which bathroom are you going to use?
Well, it's more which bank account. But it's a lot of work to do a good job, and you know, necessarily it results in a pay gap.
Want to get on to the idea of legalizing all drugs in a moment, but I think our next subject sort of connects with this inflection point tomorrow in Wellington.
Saturday. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, correct. Tomorrow. Yeah. You know what day it is, Bob?
No, I don't. It's been a long week.
Today. It's Friday, Bob. Remember the movie? Remember the song?
So, thank God it's Friday.
What has the noise around that been? What have you seen, you guys?
Oh, there's been weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth and safe spaces and, free counselling being offered by the Wellington City Council because people dared to turn up to have a different idea. It's
These are everyday people. I know. I've met some of them. I know them. These are just normal people who just want to get together and talk about a serious issue, right?
Oh, no, they're not normal. They're like tradwives. They have a view. They have a viewpoint, and the viewpoint can no longer be tolerated. So it's no longer that's the interesting thing, that those who talk about diversity and equity and inclusion, that's a complete sop, because basically if you don't have the same views as those people, it's all about inequality and it's about exclusion of your views. So, it's typical. It's really Posey Parker, another version of that, of groups being wound up and the media are trying to help wind it up as well. And then you get some councillors involved as well. Someone who's not actually, I don't think he's even voted on the council. He's there by privilege, isn't he?
Well, we don't expect anything different from those people, councillors and media. We know what they're like. But what is heartening is so many Christians coming together with so many gays coming together over an issue that's about protecting the children. I mean, that's heartening.
That's what Rachel Stewart said. The LG, but I think she said B. They want a divorce. They want to get out. They don't like this at all.
No, I wouldn't either if I was gay. I'd hate it. Yeah.
Well, you know what was telling was that protest group Queer Endurance in Defiance, Queer Endurance in Defiance, and the Poneke Anti-Fascist Coalition are planning a rally, and their flyer says, in March last year, we proved just how unwelcome this imported reactionary transphobia is. It's time to do it again. That's a rather sanitized way of saying we encourage some sort of personality disordered young man to punch a 70-something-year-old woman in the face and break some bones, doesn't it? And that reactionary thing is a pretty straight-out Marxist kind of term to anyone who fights against the revolution. So, again, we're dealing, this is, it's symbolic of a much wider conflict.
The anger and the extreme reaction of that group, though, is interesting, isn't it? Because it is out of all proportion.
Narcissistic rage.
To normal behavior. It's just like crazy shit, man.
Narcissistic rage.
Yeah, they just can't bear the idea that people disagree with them and they have to shut them down.
I mean, can't they see that it's not a very good look to the average person anyway and be cognizant of that
If your fetish is that you're not only a woman but a really attractive woman and people don't play along with that, it sort of spoils the whole thing.
I don't see much beauty in it. I see the pictures of these people.
That's your problem, Paul. You don't see their beauty.
It's me.
Yeah.
It's you.
They're basically sitting there, no matter how ugly they are, going, love me, aren't they?
Oh.
And you just can't.
But it takes all sorts and knock yourself out. Just don't hurt anyone, but don't come for the children.
No, that's right. There needs to be a massive, massive demarcation line between them and the children, for sure.
And as far as we know at this point this morning we're talking, it's still all on, right?
That's why I hate the term rainbow community, because it's, you know, somehow it's meant to appeal to children and there's something icky about it.
I keep seeing the bus driving around with the rainbow on it. I see that more than any other bus. Why is that?
They're deliberately targeting you, Paul. You're their target audience.
They got my GPS location. They said, send it. He's there right now. Drive it past. Yeah. All right.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just that they are unwilling for people hold a different view and have a discussion. And so it's no longer tolerance or tolerating each other. It's now adherence, and you must basically bow down to the viewpoint or else you get cancelled. And it's a pity it's got to that. I'm quite happy to debate with people who disagree and no problem with people holding a different opinion. But I really struggle watching the fact of this shutting down and people in positions of authority like councils and owners of venues. Look, I tell you what, if a venue refused to accept a same-sex marriage, the media would be all over it and saying how terrible that venue was. But when a venue says, oh, they really don't want to bring in a group of women and some men who believe that you're born a woman, you're always a woman, suddenly the media is on their side. So this is the great irony, the great contradiction of what the media are doing. But I can see the media simply doing what they did with Posey Parker, and that is they're trying to stir up some stuff, and I think we should just ignore it. It'll be a great discussion.
It's amazing, isn't it, how much we have to spend time fighting stuff that's just so absurd and so morally inverted that once, you know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, we would have just thought, nah, that won't happen.
Yeah. Theodore Dalrymple made such a great point about that. He's in one of his essays, he said that people always look at the propaganda in communist countries and say, how could people have been so stupid to have believed that? But the point isn't that people believed it. The point is that they had to pretend to believe it. And when you make a nation of people liars, it degrades them morally, and they're much easier to control. So if you are forced to pretend that, you know, that man with stubble is, in fact, a beautiful woman.
What are you doing tonight, mate?
Speaking of Theodore Dalrymple, aka Tony Daniels in his real name, so for those who don't know, psychiatrist who worked in the UK prison service and in the hospital. And I actually did an interview with him 2 years ago when the three strikes law was being chucked out by the Labor government.
Wow.
And yeah, so if you look on familyfirst.nz and just Google Theodore Dalrymple, you'll see it under Family Matters. And it's a interview I did with him. And he's just so clever, so perceptive of what's going on.
Just brilliant. I'll definitely listen to that, Bob. That's awesome.
Yeah. I'll send you the link.
I think you're right, whoever said it before. It's this sort of going along with false kindness all the time, you know, like manufactured guilt generating false kindness. It's
compassionate narcissism. Yeah.
It's a symptom of a civilization that's lost confidence in itself, as I've quoted Camille Paglia as saying. Mm. I mean, this comes down to, you know, I know you wanted to talk about the experts who wanted to legalize drugs. You know, wanting to take drugs it's a symptom of a lack of connection and a lack of purpose. It's not the primary problem.
Let's get on to that because time is ticking all the time. Okay, 150 so-called experts want to legalize all drugs. Now, a while back, I probably would have agreed with that. And I've taken a few in my time. We probably all have.
No.
Are you saying no, you haven't, or no, you don't believe Paul? No,
he can't believe that I could have ever done that. That's what Bob was saying. Bob, I think you've probably been pretty squeaky clean, I'm just saying. And good on you. But now I'm not so sure, actually. So
that's exactly how I feel too, Paul.
Yeah, I'm right. You know, I'm there as well.
Yeah, so when I was a libertarian, I would have agreed with all these things being legalized, just let people get on. But the culture has fallen so low, and that parents don't even send their kids to school with lunches, right? And we're having to deal with another absurdity there. Too many children are the victims of murder at the hands of their own families. I just think the freedom and extreme liberty, I mean, liberty, only works with a moral and decent population. And we just don't seem to have that anymore.
Mm. So just a few deets here. The Harm Reduction Coalition, HRCA, you've got to have an acronym, presented the letter Tuesday gone, calling the Prime Minister to end drug prohibition and legalize all drugs. 155 signatures from experts.
It probably won't happen, though, will it?
Policy. Of course it won't. They're not experts.
Well, who is an expert these
although
days?
Although, is it another moral inversion that will happen, and we'll be sitting there discussing this?
No, but I think I've dug into who actually signed the letter, and I think when you hear the word expert, you think that there's someone who's a drug policy expert. You probably do. The problem is that a couple of the groups that are sponsoring it are basically drug injecting sites, and one of them is. One is just a student group at Otago University. Another group is HIT UK, which basically has stuff about a guide to safer injecting. But it talks about 155 experts, but it actually admits that a lot of them are from overseas, from other countries. But then when you look at some of the organizations, you get down, there's a group called the Student Christian Movement, Aotearoa, which look, being a Christian, definitely aren't drug experts unless they're actually using them at the services they have. And also, of the eight professors, only two are from New Zealand. And of the doctors, they're pretty shrewd, because what they do is they put medical doctors with PhDs. And obviously they're very different. So I had a look at some of the PhDs. So remember, these are supposed to be the experts on legalizing drugs. One was a doctor, a PhD in transport policy. One was a PhD on food sovereignty.
That's a mule.
One had a PhD in welding, and one was a data engineer. And so you've got two professors, you've got about 93 individuals. And also what they did in this list of 155 is that they put the organisation name, but they also put the head of the organisation. So they put Know Your Stuff, but they also put Wendy Allison's, the boss's name, further down. So that's a bit like saying, Family First has signed it and Bob McCoskrie has signed it. And so that helps all build up your numbers, doesn't it?
Pumps up the numbers, yeah.
Well, that in combination with a paper that's understaffed and hungry for content because, they've had to fire journalists. And so, a press release will come across their desk and it'll end up with a headline on it as if it's something that actually deserves the discussion that it's getting.
I'm okay can I say, I'm quite relaxed about cannabis, even though I know it has downsides. I'm aware of that, but so is alcohol. But I don't know if it can go beyond that for me. So
I think why do you say that? Why just cannabis, Paul?
Because that's you're boxing me into a corner here.
What about mushrooms, Paul? What's wrong?
No. It's a genuine question because
I didn't think it wasn't. Don't worry. Because I think
it's a lesser drug.
No, I think we know more about it.
Well, no, that's the problem, and that's what I think we managed to communicate to people to win the referendum back in 2020, because what everybody thinks of when they think of dope is probably what you're into, Paul, which is your Woodstock weed, which is your 2-4%.
No, I know all about the hydroponics and the super grunty stuff.
So now you're dealing with
vaping. I know what that's like. You know,
high THC, you got your concentrates. Yeah. In fact, during the cannabis debate, News Hub decided they'd go to some guy who was growing it in Huntley and test out the THC, or Narrawahia, I think it was, and they found that the THC he was getting up to was around the 80% THC mark, and even Andrew Little was surprised when he was shown that. So when most people think of cannabis, they think of the 1940s vintage that putts along the road and makes you feel happy and gives you the munchies.
I think you're a little back in the time there, Bob. I mean, I think it's people are aware that other varieties around, just because Andrew Little didn't know doesn't mean anything to me.
Yeah. I agree with you, Paul, on that.
But, well, now you're dealing with the Ferrari of drugs in terms of the psycho.
But I'm not advocating for kids. I'm for adults. And, there are risks in everything. I could drink myself silly on a bottle of vodka sitting up there right now if I wanted to.
There are some people who are better off smoking weed than drinking, for sure. Yeah. And those people would be better off doing neither. I can tell you from...
And mushrooms are turning out to be quite something for, other mental issues.
Yeah, well, that's a whole other.
But, Bob, when they say they want all drugs legalized, what about heroin and coke? Is that included?
Yeah, all of them. All of them, because they want to get rid of the stigma, and they say that the violence of the police and, they're picking on Māori.
Because the argument is often there's always they always say it's time to regulate it so there's not a prohibition factor and therefore a black market, right? That's often an argument that comes up.
Yeah.
And they make that
it doesn't
that,
work.
No, I know it doesn't, because I know I've got a friend living in Canada where it's completely legal. And
I would just say anybody who thinks we should legalize cannabis, go to Vancouver, go to Chicago, go to New York, go to Colorado, go to California. You will go to Oregon. Oregon decriminalized all drugs, and now they're actually turning it back. Thailand decriminalized all drugs 2 years ago, and they're now recriminalizing.
Not into all drugs at all.
No.
But that argument about, creating a black market, it reminds me a little bit, if they were to open this up and make everything, okay, where heroin is so passe, we're on to the next big one, whatever is beyond that. Fentanyl,
Made in a lab. Yeah.
Porn is legal in nearly all Western countries except Iceland officially. And behold the vile and ugly problems it has wrought on our culture. Yep. Child porn and bestiality are still illegal, thank goodness, but they're easy to access for people that really need them or want them.
Well, AI is coming along.
And we've had this pornification of our whole culture after the internet, and it's nothing but a curse. I cannot believe I'm saying this, as once was a libertarian, but I would rather that porn were illegal, because of the devastation it's wreaked in marriages and just the fact that beautiful 15-year-old girls dress like hookers when they walk up the street now. I mean, it's just awful. And then, we want to keep the girls safe, but how do you when they insist on dressing like that? And there's only one reason they dress like that, and that's for sexual attention.
You might
and
say
it's
that, Olivia.
Utterly normalized.
Yeah, I'm glad you're saying that, Olivia. Yeah.
No comment.
Possibly comment.
It's true. I mean,
I kind of agree with you. I kind of.
It's all symptomatic, though, of a culture in decline, and so you know, the real conversation is, do we, can, is it possible to arrest the decline of our culture? Is it possible to form a parallel culture that
well, I think that's the one. You've hit on something there, but I don't know if it's possible.
I don't know if it's possible, Marty, to reform our culture.
You reckon we're riding it all the way down.
Well, even having a parallel, you know?
I'd like to think it were possible.
Those are the cultures that survive civilizational collapse.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, the ones that go down fighting.
But the ones that are within the culture that are different. That's what Jews tend to do okay often.
Even with tobacco, right, though, I've seen the cost of tobacco. It's more expensive than dope.
Yeah, true.
So what do you think is going to happen there?
Well, the government will make a lot of money off regulation.
Well, it's a sort of farcical, isn't it? And there's a black market developing for that, quite a strong one.
There's always a black market.
Yeah, because, the black market never goes away, does it?
Well, no. But it's price sensitive, right? So you get over a threshold. I mean, when a pouch of drum is $80, I mean, I was in, not that I go shopping around for this, in the US in January, it was like $9.
Mm.
I know in Canada, you can grow your own, you can buy it on the black market, or you can buy it in nice, you know, shops that are regulated. But the black market still runs because they try and undercut.
Yeah.
And they can undercut because the prices keep going up with the regulated market, of course, because the government wants more revenue. So,
yeah, we see that's self-defeating.
Yeah.
Not only undercut, but they also make them overpotent. So, for example, when it was being discussed in New Zealand about having a limit of, 15% THC, that immediately opens it up to the gangs because they're going to produce stuff at over 15%,
right,
because people want to get higher and higher, and so therefore that empowers the gangs as well. But part of the reason that we see so much, people say, oh, well, alcohol is legalized, so why shouldn't we legalize cannabis? Well, I'm not quite sure that making two errors is a solution, to say of all the social harm, the violence, the problems we have on roads with drunken drivers is justification for saying, oh, well, if one's legal, let's make the other legal.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's a dumb argument. You're right. If I had to come down anywhere on this issue, I would say I've got no problem with people growing it for their own personal use.
Yeah,
and the production and to make money and sell it wider, especially to young kids.
Around kids?
Wrong.
You'll be growing it around kids, and you'll also be growing more than you need.
Well, I mean,
so you'll be a dealer.
Gosh,
if you need any painting done,
I don't mind people getting high. I don't.
No, I don't either.
But we know it's bad for developing brains and the young, and we know that it can be a gateway drug to other more awful drugs. So
not every cannabis user becomes a hard drug user, but every hard drug user probably started on cannabis.
I think it's probably fair case. I think you're right, fair to say that.
I mean, we can't cure all the world's problems. That's the other thing. That holds the Greek tragic view, there aren't remedies for a lot of things, and I don't know, I just don't.
But it is the illegality that has kept the use of drugs low compared to alcohol use, and it's, you know, we've managed to get the smoking rate down. I mean, the big tobacco always persuaded us that it was healthy for us, that they wouldn't target it at kids. They had doctors recommending certain cigarettes to use. The evidence, the science, has caught up with all those lies, and now big marijuana is just playing the same tag that marijuana is good for you. It's almost a medicine. And
I had cancer, and it eased my pain like nothing else.
The difference, yeah, but you were using the not the.
No, I wasn't. I was boiling it up in a pot.
Yeah,
and butter.
Tell you what, with the lobster,
with butter, because I couldn't swallow, so I had to drip it in with butter. And I got off the morphine, I got off all the tramadol, and I could sleep again, and my brain wasn't going crazy, and it was not a lifesaver, but it... So
were you using an oil, or were you using a plant?
No, I got just leaves and just put them in with some butter and stirred them up for an hour or two. Well, someone else did because I couldn't get out of bed. But
I think, all things in moderation. I mean, the problem is that people get addicted. I mean, whether it's drugs, whether it's marijuana or alcohol or cigarettes, I don't care. Fill your boots, do what you want. But you know, if you do it moderately, it's not you're not really a problem to society or the people around you. But it's this hardcore addiction that sets in, and people can. Same thing with porn. People get addicted to porn all the time. And social media.
Okay, well, we've run the clock. I know we had a few other things we want to talk about, but we're literally out of time. That was really, that flew by. That must mean it was good, or it was something. So I want to thank the panelists today. Bob, thanks for coming on. Bob McCroskrey, Family First. Good to see you again.
Yeah, all good.
Marty in the panel room on the panel.
Always a pleasure. Thank you.
Okay, and Olivia, as always, Olivia.
Thanks a lot, Paul. And Bob, I just want to say good luck for the summit this Saturday. Tomorrow. I hope it goes really well.
I know. I better start thinking about what I'm going to talk about. No, I actually have, actually. I'm going to, just to give you a preview, guys, tomorrow I'm going to talk about basically the history of where we've got to this point. And I've actually found that as far back as 2015, I've found some news media footage of where they're talking about this whole gender thing being put into schools, family planning, running conferences to start pushing it. So I'm trying to get people to understand this has been going on for 9 years.
In plain sight, Bob.
And we were trying to warn people. And so to call it inflection point, I think is absolutely right. I would call it tipping point. I think the typical average Joe Kiwi has finally come to the understanding that actually it might sound nice and it might, you know, we might have believed that somehow it's going to help kids, but in fact, it's doing untold harm. So it's great.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, guys, for coming on. Have a great weekend. It'd be interesting. Okay. Maybe thanks, we'll have a chat, Bob, about that.
Sure.
Not too far away on the show and find out how that went. That's our political panel for this Friday. See you later, guys.
See you later. Bye, Paul.
Have a great week.
With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.